Today is a joyous, glorious occasion. Today, on this very day, right here on the series of tubes, we welcome the SML podcast into the 700 Club. When something has lasted so long and endured so much, you just have to know that they've abolished all sin and transgression in order to achieve such longevity. The very fact that this show has run longer than America's Funniest Home Videos is a testament to the chaste life of a wholesome podcast instead of that peddler of filth, Bob Saget. And while The Simpsons may still be in production, there is no way that that den of sin that is considered to be family program can hold an altar boy's candle to the humility, wholesomeness, and well-being of the podcast that we celebrate today. Which is why it has more episodes. You see a common theme here. So let us hold hands together. Yes, you, the one listening right now, this very moment, all six of you, reach into your earbuds and join hands as we cherish this feeling, this glow, the warmth of family and friends, and the undeniable fragrance of pancakes. Bless you, Joe Cam. Bless you, SML Podcast. Bless every last one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Mazel Tov. Wu-Tang.
What's up, everybody? And amen. It is episode 700 of the SML podcast.
Amen, motherfucker.
Hey, hallelujah. Kids.
Hallelujah. Amen. Mazel tov. As Nork says, Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
That intro was amazing. George, thank you so much for that intro. I'm here. Cole, you're here. Chris Taylor is here. Serlina is here. Dark Mika is here. Anyone notice who's missing?
Do we really know
who's missing?
Yes, the useless one. Everyone knows who that is.
Yeah, exactly. Jacob's not here yet. The mouse bot dude. Yes. Yes, Carnage, the mouse bot dude is not here. So how is everyone? How was everybody's week? This is episode 700. What's everyone doing to celebrate the occasion?
Trying not to die.
Is I heard trying not to die. What else?
I
does that count?
Chris Tales.
Oh, Chris Tales. Yeah.
Who? Somebody called me?
Yes.
No.
Oh, Chris Tales, not Chris Taylor.
A game so is close.
Off by one syllable. I know.
So close. A lot of people in chat hanging out. How are you doing, everybody in chat? I hope you're having a wonderful week. We are going to get into the news. We're going to get into the reviews. We got a lot of show ahead of us today. But before we do that, I just want to chat for a bit. How's everyone doing? It's 700 episodes of this awful fucking show. And while we're waiting for Jacob to get here, I figured I would hear your thoughts on the show and your experience doing it so far. So, Cole, why don't you lead off? How has your time been doing this show?
I've had a good time.
You're lying.
Now I'm done. Peace, bitches. I'm out. No. I think everybody's just waiting for me to quit at this point.
No comment.
Okay, Aki, what are you waiting for?
I'm so goddamn contrary. I'm like, I'm not ever going to quit just to piss y'all off.
Aki, what has your time with the show been?
And I've been here, I think, for about half the time you've been doing this. I think I showed up at like 330-ish. God, it's been forever. I've rather enjoyed it. I got to play a bunch of games I never would have heard of. Cole's pissed me off a bunch, but, you know, that's
oh, you've
expected.
Pissed her off a bunch, too.
Oh, good.
I've heard it. I've heard a lot of it.
I can't imagine what.
But
now
can.
That makes me a little happier to know that it's not just one fucking way. So I'll accept that. I'm doing even better now. Thank you.
I would argue, though, that knowing both sides, I am definitely balancing the scales in that I have pissed you off way more.
Oh, I'm sure you have, because I don't regularly take the games that you want, and I know that. Because you get them long before I even get to even see that they existed.
Oh, yeah, the benefits of a co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chris Taylor, how are you feeling with your time on the show?
Oh, good. I have way more games than I know what to do with now.
Is it my fault that you have so many memory cards for your Switch?
I only have the one.
You only have the one? I thought you had some backups.
Well, anytime that I swap them out, I put them in something else. So, like, one of them lives in, I think, Catherine's Switch, and then one of them, I don't remember what I'm doing with that one, but it's they don't hold Switch games anymore. I'm trying to figure out, I knew this before, I think back in episode 500, I was like, oh yeah, this is the first episode I was on, and I can't remember. I know that,
I was on episode zero.
Well, aren't you special?
I think we determined that I was somewhere around like 230 or something like that.
Oh, my a first lot, episode.
A lot earlier than I thought.
My first episode was episode 10.
Yeah, because well, you were on book. As a guest way back then.
Yep, on Nintendo News and pants shipping. Remember?
I fucking Kmart commercial.
Yeah. Great commercial.
Rip Kmart.
That was 8 years ago.
SML has outlived Kmart. Suck
Again.
At Kmart. Surly, you're the newest one of all of us. How's it been for you so far? Are you enjoying your time writing, and now you're, what, this is your second or third time on the show?
Third time on the show? But, see, and I knew you would forget, and I'm happy to remind you, is... Not only have I been writing for the show, this is actually my second go around for writing in the show. I wrote for the show way back when. Like, this was around. Remember when you did that absurdly long 4-hour MAGFest recap? Remember when you did that?
Yeah, we've done a few 4-hour shows.
Yeah.
Let's hope this isn't another one.
For saying that it was too long.
Well, that's so writing I've, in as a fan. That's not writing in reviews.
No, it was definitely a review. I remember, I can pull them up. There, I got
on that
all
MAGFest show, we weren't doing reviews back then.
Oh, but you were. There was one that I loved. It was like Beatbox or Beat Buddies, Guardians, and
Beat
Underwater
cool.
and stuff. I do have the receipts. I can pull this up.
Hey, you probably have more evidence than my memory remembers, because my memory sucks. So I'll take your word for it.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The point is, I've been around, honestly, for as long as Chris. I've just been super, super quiet about it. I have really enjoyed watching how things have progressed and changed. And it seems like now you finally have a formula that you are moderately happy with. And that makes me happy. So I'm
format,
happy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm happy to write stuff. I am so happy that people are actually advocating for me to write things. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, you have
They're
fans in chat.
Advocating for you to take over Jacob's spot.
Yeah.
Do y'all
I advocate
how busy
to have you
I am?
On here.
I'm busy. Aki was like, why aren't you on more? I'm like, I'm busy.
But I need to hear your voice more. It's silky smooth. I love it.
I will try. I can try to move some things around. Maybe at least once a month I can try to be on.
All right.
office.
I've heard that from Chris Huber before. Cole's heard that from Chris Huber before.
Hey, you called me again? Oh, no, wait, Chris Huber.
Yeah, different Chris. We've already covered there's too many Chris's on this show.
There are too many.
There's been like four, right?
There's been way too many. I don't know. I can't count.
Any collection of people is always occupied by too many Chris's. I know this from a lifetime of experience. Anytime you yell Chris into a crowd, like there's three or four dudes that are like, maybe one lady too.
Yes.
Yeah. That's always interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and Jacob, what about you? How about your time at SML? What do you think so far, Jacob?
God, this place.
Oh, shit. He joined in time. Did I summon him?
Okay, apparently we summoned Satan.
All right. Wasn't even looking at the fucking Skype window to know if he joined. I was going to make fun of the fact that he wasn't here. Shit.
Fuckers.
Jacob, it's about goddamn time you show up. How have you been? How has your time with SML been? What do you think of the show so far since we are celebrating our 700th episode?
What do I think of it? I mean, like, the host is a dick.
Yeah.
Cole's barely tolerable. I wish you guys would fire me. but otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
it's keeping on,
great
keeping
that,
on.
Like, we have all these, like, indie people on, you know, like all these indie devs that come on and talk about their games. I think it's really neat because they get like a lot of press that they normally wouldn't have all these other avenues to. And if you go over SML's history, like we've got devs who, you know, like their company's not even around anymore.
Yeah.
Or like the game is now gone. And it's so I don't want to say that we have potential lost media. Yeah, like, exactly. It's almost like an archive of all this indie stuff that nobody else is going to have. So I really think that is what makes SML unique, because it's
you can listen to
shitheads anywhere, but we bring that extra indie flavor to it.
Yeah, with how you said all that, I think the very first review I did here, the game doesn't exist anymore, and I'm pretty sure the developing team doesn't exist anymore either. It was ginormous.
I was just gonna ask if people had any memories of games that don't exist anymore, and Gigantic was gonna be the one that I was gonna bring up. I love the fact that we had, at the time, a first-party Microsoft developer on the show talking about their game. We got to test it with them. I talked before they disbanded. I talked with the team at Press Play, another first-party Microsoft studio. I got to do, like, pre-alpha testing of a game with them before they got shut down. It's just sad to see all these companies that we've outlived. And they should be doing better than us.
Yeah. What did we do to deserve to survive this long? They didn't.
We were bored and we have nothing better to do.
We're too stupid to die.
Yeah.
You speak for your damn self.
Exactly. See, this is what needs to be around more.
Honor Code was a developer that we got to interview for Necrosis, which was one of my favorite games. And it's not there anymore. They disbanded. And it breaks my heart. Anytime people start talking about a studio that's not there anymore, I think of Honor Code. I fangirled so hard doing that interview. It was one of my first ones, but I was so excited because it was so cool.
No. It's a shame.
Okay, good chat.
It's a shame, but that's what happens. Crazy shit that happens in game dev and all that other stuff, but we got news to tackle. Is everyone ready to get into the news?
Yippers.
Yeah, sure.
It's about to be the beginning of a new month, so new lineups for PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold were announced, and for the first time in a long time, I think Xbox takes the win.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Games with Gold for August, Xbox One is getting Darksiders 3 and Yooka-Laylee.
Mm-hmm. Those are good ones.
And then for the 360, we're getting Lost Planet 3 and Garou: Mark of Wolves. So if you're into fighting games, you got that one.
Yeah,
I'm happy that the 360 still, like, you know, is current as a thing in, you know, 16 years after the system launched.
I think almost all the Lost Planet games now have been games with gold, I think.
Possibly.
I think you might be right on that one. I was going to say, Lost Planet is actually the only thing I'm disappointed. I mean, I'm glad people are getting it for free. That's cool. I mean, I have no qualms with this lineup. My only thing is that it's just like, it's been $5 so many damn times on sale that I think last time it was $5, I sprung for it, and now it's free, naturally. So I'm kind of sour about that. But I'm also really stoked about Fatal Fury being on there. So,
yeah. In chat, they are excited about this month having Midway Arcade Origins, which I agree. I love that game. When they announced that one for Games with Gold, I was excited.
I still haven't touched that one.
Well, you should. It's there to be played. But PlayStation Plus for August. On PS4, they are getting Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville, which not bad.
Mm.
Cool.
Tennis World Tour 2.
Bigger.
Okay.
Yeah, Tennis World Tour 2. And then a brand new game. So this one we're unknown on. It's Hunter's Arena Legends. It's another online multiplayer game, which I could do without.
Yep.
I have no interest in that game.
Agreed.
So any thoughts on the lineups? Anybody think there's a clear winner, clear loser this month?
Xbox is clearly the winner. You are right.
It's not even a contest.
Yeah. I mean, it's a totally solid lineup.
Yeah. And then in sales figures, it looks like things are going really well for PS5 and Xbox. PS5 is now over 10 million units sold already.
That's insane.
How?
And you can't find them in stores. There's 10 million, exactly. Allegedly 10 million sold.
That's 7 million. How many are still sitting in warehouses.
Yep.
No, there's not in warehouses. Sold. They're sitting in some dude's living room because he hasn't sold them yet.
There's 10 million sold and 100,000 that are out there.
3.56 million more, and it will have outsold the Wii U one year.
Wow.
See, what I'm hoping for is that they just keep making them and making them and making them, and all these scalpers just keep buying them, and then just no one buys it from the scalpers, because eventually them fuckers are going to run out of money. And then we'll actually be able to buy them properly, and then they have to drop all their prices to under normal sale value and lose everything, and I'm going to be so happy.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys.
That's the dream, but it's not going to happen, at least for another year.
Yeah, probably not for another year or two, yeah. No. But I can wait. That's the great thing. I can fucking wait.
I don't know, man. Miles is calling me. I get tingles just thinking about him.
Come visit and you could play Spider-Man.
You know, don't tempt me, because I will make that drive. It's like 6 hours. I'll do it.
Well, then come do it. We'll find a weekend that Ashley's off. You could come hang out. I'll call Ian. Jacob, you could come up.
Y'all should take advantage of your proximity. It takes me 6 hours just to get out of Texas in any direction.
Yeah, but to be fair, there's a lot of big cities in Texas. There ain't shit to do in Pennsylvania.
Well,
I think you
not
might be
in Texas, there's one thing he can do. Huh?
I think you might be closer to me than Joe is, so.
Oh, I don't know where you are.
Indiana. Southern Indiana.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've been through Indiana one time. I went to a White Castle and it was terrible. It was my first Hold and last on. Time ever.
White Castle is solidified as drunk food. You eat that shit at 2 a.m. after you've had too much of literally anything else.
Yeah, you know what we eat in Texas, though? Whataburger. There's lines around the block.
Yeah.
But don't talk about Whataburger like that, all right? Because you know you've been in that line. You've been
there. I've never been drunk in my life, and I eat Whataburger all the time. I'm just saying that it's
I've never had Whataburger.
Are they like?
No, you should come to Texas, and I will treat you.
You realize you're asking me to travel in Texas, right?
Yeah. Just I know. To get Whataburger? No, not happening.
Well, also to hang out with yours truly.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But mostly the Whataburger.
Yeah.
Chris, anyway. I like you, but I'm not going to travel to Texas just to hang out with you at a Whataburger.
Wait, are you Joe? Did I invite you?
Oh! Right, you just told your bitch ass to sit down in the nicest, most southern way possible.
All right, Chris, fine. See who gives you the Kids Praise cassette albums, all right? I ain't sharing shit with you now.
I heard my mom used to work in a Christian bookstore. I've heard all that stuff.
I know, but now you could hear it again.
Ooh, you have any Salty the Salter?
Yeah, man, that's what I just said.
Oh, like, you did? Okay. Oh, that's praise. Right. We talked about this. That's right. Okay. Well, all right, you're invited then.
All right.
No, I'm not going, man. Fuck it.
I will say this about White Castle burgers. For whatever reason, when they're like fresh off the grill or microwave or however, you know, like porta potty, however they make them, I can't eat them. I get sick after two of them. But if you throw the whole thing in the fridge and then like later on, like I eat them six hours later, I can eat the whole damn box. I don't know what the hell it is when they're fresh. I don't know what it is when they're fresh, but I get sick from them.
Like, well, you see, that's how I felt for sure. The only way you can get White Castle in Texas is in the freezer section at supermarkets. Like, we actually have them, frozen in boxes, and that's how.
Fucking yeah!
They taste about the
holy
same.
Holy shit, that's Iron Fist of Snuff. CJ just dropped five gift subs in the channel. So, woo! Latino Heat, Sir Khaled, Lady Magritte, Jesus Ninja, and Fun Kevin all getting subs. And we're all going to hear Purnell for the next minute and a half going, fucking yeah!
It's like he's two here of them. With us.
Purnell, what do you think about that? Waiting. Come on, Purnell.
Fucking yeah!
There we go. Oh, my Lord. We were talking sales figures. I should mention Microsoft. They have not given any specific sales figures, but they have confirmed that the Series X and S are the fastest-selling Xbox consoles ever, with more consoles sold life to date than any previous Xbox.
Oh, wow.
So it's doing good, but we don't know how good.
We don't know how much good.
Scalpers.
Fucking yeah!
Fucking yeah. That's right, Purnell.
Wait, are people reselling Xbox, new Xboxes? I didn't know it's
the series everything right now.
The Series X is hard to find. The Series S is doable.
Okay.
Yeah, if I get one, I want the X because I want the fucking drive to put discs in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd want a disc.
I really wish they never even went with a Series S. I think it's just, I don't know, a mistake, but
doing well. They're pushing towards it being an all, you know, everything on Games Pass, all streaming stuff is what Microsoft has been trying to push for a while. So it makes sense that they do it. It sucks, but that's clearly what they're aiming for. They don't want to keep putting discs out there.
Yeah.
I mean, from a cost analysis standpoint, that makes sense. But when you think about, you know, ye old average gamer, the average gamer is not just playing one game. Like, they're playing several. You're just going to run out of room, and then the crying will start.
Crying's already started. It don't have any goddamn memory on it. It's some bullshit.
A 512 hard drive was the dumbest decision they made with that thing.
It's nothing.
Like,
That's all it has? I thought it was
512. The S has 512.
I thought it was 1 terabyte. I thought they only
the
came
X
in 1 terabyte.
The X has 1 terabyte.
Holy shit, that is... Wow.
Yeah,
there are games you can't even play.
No,
that's the biggest gripe that the girls have with their S is that, like, if one of them goes on a downloading spree, the other two are sitting there going, "Where'd my games go?" But for the most part, like, we have high speed internet, we have gigabit internet, so it's just like 10 minutes till it re-downloads, and it's not an issue.
Lloyd Berry saying the two newest Call of Duty games together will not both fit on a Series S.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's Call of Duty, Activision, they need to get their shit together in more ways than one.
No, they just need to fuck off and go away and just never come back.
All right.
Who has followed the Activision kerfuffle this week?
Me! I've
semi-followed it. Not in depth, but I know the gist of some things.
Well, Sarly, what do you want to say about it?
Holy shit. Okay. So, as you guys know, Surly is a bit of a social justice warrior, and I'm completely fine with that. Completely fine with that. And the reason for that is because I believe there should be equality for everybody, which generally means that I hate everyone equally. Like, we all start at a level of hate, and then you go up and down from there based on your actions, okay? Okay. So, I don't know how much y'all talked about this in previous podcasts, so I'm just going to do a recap real quick. Basically, they'd have been fucking up over there in Activision Blizzard, and it's really interesting just watching people's reactions. Like, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening. Like, really? Really? Do you know men? Not only do you know men, do you know entitled white men? Like, do you know this?
Rich, entitled white men.
At no point ever should anybody have been surprised by what came out. Not a soul should have been surprised.
Not a single person. With that being said, I am 100% in support of the walkouts that they're doing. Do I think, I don't know, I'm leaning towards a little bit, you know, too late, because after all, a person lost their life over this. But if these walkouts will help bring awareness to the overall inequality in video game development, and not just for women either, I'd like to point this out. If you are not a rich, entitled white man, you are automatically othered. And I don't even want to know what those quote-unquote others will do just so they don't get beat up by the rich, entitled white man. So, but that's just Surly's two cents on it. I'm making it quick because I know everybody's not going to want to hear me get up on my soapbox.
Well, that's what this show is for.
Soapboxing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do it all the time. If Purnell were here, I mean, he would probably just go on talking about working out and then taking a trip and then the food that he had. And he would go on off on a tangent about the spiciness of the food. And then we would talk about spicy foods, and then cereal would get brought up, and then we would go back to Mountain Dew somehow.
And then he might drive us somewhere in his car.
Yeah. He would go to Best Buy.
I mean, certainly
talk about Oreos.
Certainly. I've taken up more airtime talking about White Castle than you have talking about white men. So go ahead. Please,
like, I just want people to think about the people who are making these video games, right? Who are making these video games for our pleasure. They are people who have been ridiculed by the mainstream for simply liking video games, and they've never gotten out of that adolescent mentality, you know?
Damn.
So it's like, think about it like this. I'm not sure if y'all know, but I'll tell you, for like the first year and a half, I was 100% into Overwatch. Like, that was my game, and I fell off because some things happened, but whatever. And you think about like Jeff Kaplan, right? Who's like the guy for Overwatch. And like one of his forum names was Tiggle Bitties. Does that sound like a functioning adult to you? Like, wow. A well-functioning adult to you?
That was a forum name?
That was a forum name. Now, this was before he joined Blizzard, but not the point.
That's before. I don't know.
But do you think that there was growth? Like, growth is not easy. Mental and emotional growth? That's not easy. If you've been going through like your adolescent phase, constantly bullied by other people, you're going to carry that into adulthood, and change is not easy. Like, I'm speaking about this from basically having gone through this myself and my other personal shit. Change is not easy. People don't want change for what? And now they're being like celebrated for having all of these wonderful games, but not having to change their actual personalities. Now, I am sure that Jeff Kaplan is a wonderful person. I don't know. I ain't never met him. Blah, blah, blah. That's not the point. The point is, there is absolutely no reason for these men who have been celebrated for making things that we like, but for treating women and others like shit and having it swept under the rug. What incentive do they have to change?
And like, I'm glad that's why everything is coming out. And I'm glad that's why there's walkouts at Activision Blizzard. I'm glad that the media is getting involved with this. I'm glad that there's a lawsuit against Activision Blizzard for their conduct. I hope this, I wouldn't be sad if it just tore the company down. I don't care. Fuck Activision. Fuck Bobby Kotick.
Okay, but here's the thing with that. You can get mad and you can say, well, fuck Activision. I don't like them. They're assholes. They're wrong. Don't get me wrong, okay?
But the people below them aren't in the wrong. And I know it's hard for them.
And you can't just be like, well, let the whole company fall apart. And you're like, okay, but there are people who literally uprooted their whole family to move them to go take this once-in-a-lifetime job opportunity. And it's not really fair to shit on them because of what others have done at the same time. Because I've seen this same kind of argument and stuff toward, you know, streamers who still play the game or writers like me. Hey, I've got articles that I've wrote that are just sitting in limbo about Call of Duty, and I don't get paid till those are published. Do I deserve to not get paid because Activision did something shitty? No. I did the work. I need to get paid. You can't just, like, you know, have this laissez-faire, burn it all down attitude, because it doesn't actually change or benefit anybody. There has to be actual systemic change. And that's a lot harder to come by than just burning down Activision, because fucking Activision is just one blight bubble. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. Riot has been doing this for fucking decades. Uh-huh. This is systemic at Ubisoft. This is systemic in fucking
Rockstar, EA.
Not even just gaming. This is a systemic cultural problem.
Yes.
Like, we treat this like this is just a gaming issue. Gaming magnifies it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. But this is a systemic cultural issue. And it doesn't matter how many studios fall apart because they're shitty if nothing changes at the core.
Yeah.
I would say it's more than a cultural issue. It's just a human issue. Just be a better person.
It's not just about being a better person, though. And it's you have to actively fight against it, because I can be a really, really awesome person. Newsflash, I'm already awesome. But if I let you,
most of us on this show are in some regard fairly left-leaning, fairly progressive, fairly feminist forward. But, you know, that doesn't change the fact that I reported a podcast on Spotify the other day that very much was not, you know. And I mean, just because you can't go, well, shouldn't be any gaming podcast.
I reported this one just to be safe.
That's good.
just in case.
I was hoping someone would, you know, but shut us down, pre-ported. Get rid of us.
I pre-ported us. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Fine. You know, I just, it's just not, it's a generational problem that I don't think it's even just saying, well, be good people, because there's good people, but there's still always going to be bad ones. And
which is why you got to speak up.
Find ways to, you know, shift the tide, literally moving that Overton window to make things better. And it has to be a group effort.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my soapbox.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to step up on a soapbox while we're still here?
No, I'm just listening.
Is the soapbox pretty?
I don't know. It's soapbox. When are soapboxes pretty? They're usually just wooden.
It's serviceable. It's serviceable.
Okay, then
Dove makes pretty stuff.
You just want to take it home. I just need something to put my shoes in.
No, I have an entire spice rack thing for that.
A spice rack for shoes.
Yeah, it's a spice rack and microwave stand. But since I already had a place for that stuff, I just put it in my right when you walk in the door, and now it holds shoes and all sorts of other crap.
Oh, is it the metal pronged spice rack? And you just yeah. I can see how that can hold up shoes. Yeah.
It holds my shoes, it holds umbrellas, and since it had a surface for a microwave, it holds boxes and stuff that I need up in the front. Yeah,
Okay, we're getting way off topic now. some bad news. Kena Bridge of Spirits has been delayed to September 21st.
Oh, that's just a shame.
What is that?
Kena Bridge of Spirits for PlayStation and PC.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
That game's so pretty.
Cole, I know you've been following this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm disappointed. Well, I'm not disappointed it's delayed, because I'd rather a game be delayed than be bad.
Yeah.
You know, time for polish is always a plus. But the big thing that I'm concerned with is that it's pushing it back into September. And then
that's when it starts getting crowded.
Yeah, like it's just going to get bowled over and buried. And that's kind of a shame, because you can tell that the game has really been a labor of love for that dev team. And you want to see it do well.
Yeah, that's one of the few games that I really have my eye on mm-hmm. on PlayStation. And I hope it does well. I plan on picking it up when it's ready. But
it'll be ready for my birthday.
Yay! When is your birthday?
September 27th.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Nothing to say. Nothing more to say about
nothing
it.
Nothing more to say. I was wrong. The Dead Space Project is apparently a remake of the original game. I thought it was a reboot. So it's come out that it is supposed to be a remake of the original game, and they are also looking to add cut content from the original to this new project.
That is so awesome.
More.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, so if you thought it was a reboot like I did, we were wrong. Jacob, I think you said it was a remake, so you were right.
You were wrong.
Ooh, don't tell him that.
Hey,
I just
even a broken clock is right twice a day.
But yeah, I mean, the Dead Space thing, it's just like Mass Effect. I'm really happy that it's coming out, and if you missed it the first time, don't miss it this time.
Agreed. Hopefully it does well.
I hope they do Dead Space 2 as well, because my favorite character is in that one.
One of some games that did do well? Death Stranding has sold over 5 million copies on PS4 and PC.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
So Death Stranding did pretty okay. After all,
I still don't understand that game.
I didn't think that game would do so well outside of meme mm-hmm. season. Like, nobody talked about it after the memes were done.
Yeah,
I mean, the memes are pretty good.
I honestly thought that the first push of everyone buying it, that would kind of be it, because that'd be all the, you know, fanboys of
Kojima.
Yeah, for some reason,
Norman.
I blanked on his name.
Norman.
I thought all of them would have bought it, and then it kind of would have just went nowhere. I'm surprised that it sold so well.
Yeah, well, congrats to them. And maybe that'll be a good sign for whatever Kojima's next project is, that's rumored to be some cloud-based project with Xbox.
Ooh, I'm intrigued.
I don't know what the hell that's going to be, but I'm sure we'll find out more in the future.
Metal Gear Evaporation. It's in the cloud.
I mean, I'd play it.
Oh, Jesus. Death's Door has reached over 100,000 players in its first week.
Oh, wow. It needs 500,000 more, and then more after that. Everybody should play Death's Door.
I'll have 20 bucks, or I would.
It's not on Game Pass?
No.
No.
Oh, wow. I just kind of assumed it would be.
Yeah, a lot of people thought this one was going to be on Game Pass, but nope, it is not. Gotta actually buy this one.
Mm-hmm. No.
Shocker, I know.
Fuse.
Fatal Frame Maiden of Black Water is going to be releasing October 28th on Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, and PC. So it'll be out just in time for Halloween.
Nice.
Okay.
Yay! And then final.
That's good. I think we need a return to, like, Japanese horror video games.
I've never played any of those games.
I'm just happy to see Fatal Frame on more than the Wii U.
What?
I'm just happy to see Fatal Frame on more than just the Wii U.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if the Switch version is going to, like, utilize some kind of AR kind of, or just, like, you know, tilt controls where you can look around like you're looking into a camera. That's what the 3DS game did. That one that's, like, related to a spirit camera. I think that's a Fatal Frame game, technically, or something.
I don't know.
That or else it's a Pachinko machine.
I need them to come out with a Fatal Frame Pachinko machine so I can buy it and put it in my home.
No, you don't.
I know. I live on the second story. That would be impossible.
Oh, Lord. Haul that up.
Yeah.
Final bit of news I have is Dr. Mario World, the mobile game, is shutting down November 1st.
And that's why I don't play online-only games for even from Nintendo.
I wanted that game to be
especially from Nintendo.
And yeah. I put so much effort into wanting to like it. I played it like 2 times while sitting in the doctor's office waiting room, and I was like, this is not good.
But you know what? My copy of Dr. Mario on the Nintendo Entertainment System still works.
Still good. Yeah,
still good. Still good game.
So yeah, that's the news I have. Anyone else? Cole, what kind of news do you have? Anything on your end?
Annapurna did a showcase today, but I didn't get to actually watch it. But Stray, which was supposed to be a PS5 exclusive, is going to be on PC as well. And so I'm excited for that. And then they announced a whole bunch of other games. And then Telling Lies and Goragoa are coming to Game Pass.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, which is funny because I almost bought Goragoa last week for $4. And I had my hand like over it. And then I got sidetracked by one of the kids and didn't do it. And now I'm glad.
Yay. Is that your news? Anyone else have anything? Jacob, I know you usually have stuff.
Yeah, I got news. So actually going back to the sales figures, this one was kind of interesting. I don't remember where exactly I read the article, but it had to do with, trying to figure out how many Game Pass subscribers there actually are, because Microsoft has been rather mum about it, over this time. And so they're just discussing like how Microsoft doesn't talk about it, but we're able to glean a little bit about that. Because Sony has gone out and said that MLB The Show for this year is actually the top-selling version that they've ever had. And it was able to reach, they confirmed that there were like about 2 million copies sold on the PlayStation stuff. However, it's been able to, quote-unquote, reach 4 million people total. Which means that
doing pretty good on Xbox.
Yeah, so I mean, it was definitely very lucrative, and for Sony to do that, and I mean, obviously, not everyone who purchased MLB The Show, you know, is also a Game Pass subscriber, but it helps get some idea of how many people were at least playing it on Xbox. No. So you got that going. there is now a Pokemon live action show in development at Netflix. The guy who headed Lucifer is going to be in charge of it. That's pretty much everything that's known about it.
I really liked that show, Lucifer. That was good.
I don't know if I can go for a live action Pokemon show. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd want to know the plot idea for it first before I get excited.
Will it have Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu, or will it have Danny DeVito as Pikachu? We need one of the two.
Does matter? Both are going to be a good time.
I'd rather have Danny DeVito.
I was going to say Team DeVito over here.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds.
Danny DeVito is what I would look like if I was a foot shorter and I shaved.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. He's a handsome man.
Okay, then.
Danny DeVito is Meowth.
I could picture that.
Oh, that would, yeah,
except,
that would work.
Except it's him in a costume, like a shitty costume off of Wish.
That'd be fantastic.
All the other Pokemons are like perfect CGI recreations and stuff, and he's just a
Danny
guy in a
DeVito
suit
in a shitty outfit.
Listen, I can't help but think of Danny DeVito as Frank from Sunny, dressed in that Meowth outfit, and it just works.
I love it.
Stuck in a playground tube. Oh, shit. All right. Anything else, or are we ready to dive into reviews?
Yeah, what the hell?
Go ahead, Jacob. Damn.
Okay, Jacob, what do you have? You got it. Come on. Let's get the shit
moving. Dude, hey, all right.
Apparently, he's got PMS.
Well, yeah, maybe. Anyway, so if you were watching the Tokyo Olympics, which, of course, all of us definitely have been, so the opening ceremony featured a number of video game music within it. It's also, everyone's now known that none of the music was from Nintendo, and it turns out Nintendo was involved and then backed out at some point. I think it was up till June, Nintendo was involved with the Olympics, and then they just suddenly pulled out for whatever reason. The main theme from Zelda, the opening of Pokemon, and tracks from Super Mario Brothers were apparently supposed to have played during the athletes' entrance march. Miyamoto was possibly going to show up, and somehow Lady Gaga was also going to be involved.
Oh, geez.
And all of that fell apart at, like, the last second. So, you know, there's that.
Maybe they backed out in solidarity with all those athletes that are getting screwed over.
Either that or else they just didn't want to be associated with, you know, the Olympics going on during the time of COVID.
Very true.
I mean, Nintendo's very much about their appearance, so.
No.
That's true.
And the last bit of news that I have is that BioWare has released some info about Mass Effect Legendary Edition and everyone's choices, and apparently everyone's just playing as Paragons.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Paragons. Soldier. Paragons. Yep.
So
I'm not going to say what my choice would have been had I played that game.
Soldier Paragon. Okay. Keep it moving. Yes.
So 94% of people save Rex during the Vermeier mission. Another 93% save the Arachni Queen. Mass Effect 2, pretty much every 96% of us convince the Quarians that Tali's innocent. Garrus is the most beloved companion. And in Mass Effect 3, 96% of the people cure the genophage. However, BioWare will not discuss which ending everyone chooses.
No.
I'm wondering if they're sitting on that to determine where the next Mass Effect is going to go.
Maybe. I think they're sitting on that because they have PTSD.
Yeah, really.
I don't think they want anything to do with those fucking numbers.
If we just don't talk about the ending again, maybe they'll leave us alone.
Exactly.
It's weird. 100% of the players say fuck BioWare. That's so weird. Strange.
I'm still a little incensed that Garrus is the most beloved companion. Liara and Thane are both there.
I definitely would have put Thane myself, but that's just me.
Yeah, either one of those is an acceptable answer to me. Not fucking Garrus. All he does is calibrate shit. Fuck him.
Yo, all right.
No one likes Jack?
All right. First up, no. Nobody
don't
likes Jack.
Mind Jack.
You don't want to get freaky with the tattooed chick?
Nah. I prefer
the pretty blue alien girl with the cute freckles. So.
Yeah,
Liara is a cutie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beating heart. Oof.
And, I mean, for me, Garrus is my favorite squad mate. Him and Rex. Like, I mean, the two of them just fuck everything up, so I'm totally on board with them.
All right, well, Surly, what was the news you had?
I didn't know if y'all had talked about it in a previous podcast, but I saw an article.
Wait, are you saying you don't listen?
I'm busy.
It's okay. I don't listen either.
Me neither.
Busy. I saw an article about Xbox Game Pass now this was a synopsis from a former PlayStation executive, so I gotta take it with a little grain of salt, but it said in order for Xbox Game Pass to be economically viable, they would have to gain 500 million more subscribers, and I'm like, oof.
Oh, that's the same article I was reading.
Didn't Microsoft already come out and say it's profitable?
Pretty sure they have.
They did. They did?
I thought Microsoft already came out and said it's profitable.
But they haven't said how, but yeah.
There was a thing earlier from their SEC filings where they had made like 300 some odd million just from Game Pass, and it was all how they were gonna like double down on buying more studios and investing more into their first party expansions. Cool. Oh, where did I see that at earlier?
I'm fine with that.
That's the article that I had read, the MLB The Show thing, because that's how they pulled the numbers of, or how they tried figuring how many subscribers there actually are to
it. So wait a second. So, okay, that portion of the article, they literally tried to extrapolate numbers that they don't have on a game. I'm sorry, hold on, the math.
Okay. Yeah, they made shit up to try and make up numbers to find out something that Microsoft doesn't want to reveal.
Insider baseball, indeed.
Yeah.
Gaming revenue increased $3.8 billion, or 33%, by growth in Xbox content and services and Xbox hardware. Xbox content and services revenue increased $2.3 billion, or 23%, driven by growth in third-party titles, Xbox Game Pass subscriptions, and first-party titles. Hardware revenue increased 92%.
Oh my god, we gotta stop doing this, talking about hardware numbers. This is just so boring. Okay. It's like an E3 presentation. Hardware numbers were down 24%. Sales numbers were up 14%.
Joe, stop doing ASMR on here. You're almost about to make me come. Jesus, it's weird.
Basically, their revenue increased over $9 billion.
Oh, they're fine then. All right.
Yeah, I think they're doing fine with Game Pass.
Good, because I would be like,
Bethesda paid for itself.
Yeah. Like, I would be willing to pay $20 for it, but I wouldn't like it. I think anything more than that, I'd be out.
No, I have it until 2023, so I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Shut up. But yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. Everyone ready for reviews? Or Chris, you're heading out, aren't you?
I am heading out.
You are heading out to go stream on your own. So if people are tired of our channel and want to go watch Chris Taylor, what are you streaming tonight?
Shining Force on the Game Boy Advance.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nice.
Been playing. I had a wild hair to play that one, so I've been playing it.
I'll have to check it out.
So are you going to be doing this from a hot tub in your bikini, or how are you streaming it?
Yeah, but the camera, I don't have a camera, so that part's just for me.
You have to use your imagination.
Yeah.
Oh, I usually do.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, Chris, we will let you get going. Thank you so much for being here, hanging out with us for the 700th episode. Glad you made time to join us. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, everybody eat at White Castle.
Bye, Liere.
Bye, Zerly. This is the first time we've ever talked directly to each other.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? We should do it more often.
Yeah, hell yeah. All right, later. I'm going to be gone. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye.
Bye.
Bye, Chris.
All right,
bye.
Everyone ready for reviews?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Samurai Warriors 5, developed and published by Koei Tecmo Games, released July 27th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $59.99. After a seven-year wait, a new installment in the tactical action series Samurai Warriors is finally here. Jacob, tell us about it.
So, have you ever played a Samurai Warriors game? Or Dynasty Warriors? The games are pretty much interchangeable. It's a hack and slash featuring historical figures from Asian history. If you're playing Dynasty Warriors, it's Chinese. If it's you're playing Samurai Warriors, it's Japanese. And pretty much the games have not changed all that much since I started playing them back around 2003.
Oh, geez.
Mostly because why fix a good thing when it's not broken?
I have a question for you.
No.
Too bad. Have the graphics changed at all in that time period?
I'm getting there.
A fuck ton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean that's kind of like asking, like, you know, have the graphics improved from the original Xbox to the Xbox 360 and then so on and so forth. I mean, yeah, they've improved. However, I will say, without jumping too much, they've actually gone with a slightly different art style for Samurai Warriors 5, which is pretty neat. Anyway, so in Samurai Warriors, you're running through all these battles and you're just hacking and slashing literally everyone on the opposing side. And with each battle, there's various stuff you do. You know, it's whether it's make sure somebody gets to escape point B or just make sure, you know, nobody on your side dies, or it's just kill everyone. And that's fine. You know, and you run around on the battlefield. You collect new weapons, you gain XP, you try to kill as many people as you possibly, or sorry, knock out Because we don't kill in this game, we knock out. Although, actually, I think in this one they've started saying kill. But, you know,
there's legit a kill counter at the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, well, they used to just say KO. So, I mean, they did say, I think this one, I'm pretty damn sure it actually does say kill this time. Although, I think they still use KO at some point, so it's whatever.
Doesn't matter.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And anyway, so you try to kill, like, thousands of people, you know, as per battle. Or at least that's what I do. Anyway, so with this new version, there is a different art style. And it very much looks like brush strokes.
It's cel-shaded to look like... It's similar to Borderlands in that it's got that heavy ink around the outlines. But there's actual, like, a digital watercolor kind of aesthetic going on for the actual character coloring and stuff like that. It's very much meant to represent art from 16th century Japan, which is when the game is
set.
Sounds
pretty.
It's very pretty.
And it's a massive improvement over the games before.
Oh, God, yeah.
However, it does lead to some problems in it. Because there's definitely some issues with draw distance because that you'll get that heavy outline, but all the characters and the colors start to just kind of muddy together and look like a blurry mess. So there's definitely some issues with draw distance. I also had some issues with like popping characters popping in, enemies popping in, textures popping in. And I was playing with it installed on the internal on a Series X.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't have the first issue that you were saying with everything just like blending in together on Xbox One. However, I also did have a lot of issues with enemies just popping in and out.
I feel like that's been running issue with like every Warriors game that pop in a constant issue.
I mean,
I think
the fact that
there are so many fucking enemies on the screen.
Right. I mean,
too,
it's very easy to have like 300 odd enemies on the screen all at once. So, I mean,
like we're talking about, you're racking up hack and slash combos of 5,000, 10,000 and more in a few moments. So that's a lot of enemies to have around.
So, art style's great. The controls are pretty much the same. You know, it's just keep mashing X or Y, you know, to do your little combos. A is your jump or hop on your horse, and B is activating your Musou, which is just your huge grand attack that, you know, kills lots of the tiny foot soldier guys, doesn't do so much damage on the major bosses. So with that, the biggest change that's come with this is now the Citadel mode, which is just an extra mode of you like having to do all these extra battles. But with it, you can upgrade your characters, you can upgrade your weapons, make more moves available, all this kind of stuff. Citadel mode isn't necessarily bad, but I felt it was like for a game series that relies on essentially playing the same thing over and over again, even though it's on slightly different levels and slightly different, you know, mission accomplishments, like things that you have to do in the mission. The Citadel mode it felt tedious and almost unnecessary.
It's meant to be more, the types of battles that you're going to run into in Musou mode are meant to be when you're on the offensive. The battles you have when you're in Citadel mode, you are on the defensive. It's a tower defense, essentially. That's the difference between them.
Yeah. I mean, the missions, I mean, yeah, Cole's totally right on that. I just felt, you know, it didn't add enough to make it worthwhile to get excited about.
My bigger issue with that being broken down into two separate things is that you're dependent on the materials that you get from Citadel mode to upgrade your building so that you can progress in Musou mode. And also you need to be certain levels, complete certain scenarios in Musou mode in order to unlock progress in Citadel mode. So you're constantly forced to go back and forth between the two. And it would have just been so much better if they had just woven it into one actual cohesive story rather than forcing you to go back and forth and grind.
Yeah. And that and that has been an issue with the series for a while. I don't know if you've played the Bladestorm games, Cole.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
This was my first Samurai Warriors ever.
Oh, okay. Because I actually forgot to include Bladestorm when I was talking about this. I think there's only three entries in the series. It's the same shit, except this time it involves white people. And it's set during the Hundred Years War, which, you know, is not actually, it didn't actually last for 100 years. It's just skirmishes between the English and the French that kept happening over a 100-year period. That was actually part of the issue with Bladestorm, is that you would require certain things to get certain weapons, and certain weapons wouldn't appear within your battles. And some of them were just completely randomized, and it actually led to issues with achievements for the very first Bladestorm game, because there was one weapon or book that you had to get within it, and it would take a minimum of 200 hours, and even 200 hours of gameplay, and it was random. So it was like the biggest fuck you in the entire series.
In Bladestorm? Why are you mentioning Bladestorm?
Because it was happening back then with other entries in the series.
But they've kind of gotten away from that with Samurai Warriors, because the way that it works now is that the rewards that you get are dependent upon the rank that you get, which is your time and how many KOs and how many of the lieutenants you kill, and how big your combos are. So the better that you do while you're playing a mission, the better the rewards that you'll get for finishing it. That's not to say that's all well and good, though. Like, it's better, but the game lets you play on easy difficulty and unlock achievements and everything. But your rewards are actually limited. If you're playing on easier difficulties, you won't get the better weapons. So you are forced to go back and play at the higher difficulties. Initially, it's just easy and normal. There may be a hard. I don't remember. It's been a few days since I've played it. But then there was also, there's a nightmare difficulty that you unlock after you finish the game. And you have to, at least for achievement's sake, you've got to complete at least one mission on Nightmare. And I don't know if you need to do more to get the special weapons, because I was just like, look, I played it on easy. I had a good time, but sometimes you just need to leave it there, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, back in the day, I had tried previous entries on harder difficulties, and any of the Musou games is just, you know, setting it on an easy difficulty, or playing one that's not, or playing a battle that's not that difficult, and just tearing through, you know, everybody and killing like 5,000, 6,000 mm-hmm. people, you know, in one battle. So
I do appreciate, though, that they let you up the difficulty or lower it at will before you start a mission. Mm-hmm. So you actually have the ability to slowly rank yourself up with the lesser weaponry and stuff, and once you're well upgraded, you can try to go into at a higher difficulty and still maintain your upgrades and stuff, and not have to start all over from scratch.
I'm a fan of that. yeah, same here. Because this is one of those game series where it's just like going. You know, you're given like 40 odd characters minimum per game. And it's just like to have to go, like, if I beat it on easy and then I had to go and play, like, start from the scratch on, like, to play it on hard and unlock all 40 characters all over again, I'd just be like, yeah, screw this game. I'm not
like,
doing
I put enough time into this. I'm good.
Yeah.
So all the
Musou games are ones that are extremely time consuming from start to finish. But you know, if you're a fan of the series, you're used to that and you love it for it, and you'll play the shit out of every single entry that you get your hands on. Like, I mean, which is what I've done.
Yeah. Well, I gotta ask the two of you, $60 on this one. What are you thinking?
Duh.
I'm good giving it a buy it, even though it was something I was new to. I will say one thing that I think Jacob missed to bring up. This is a rehash of the story from the first Samurai Warriors game. It's kind of like a soft reboot. So you're not likely to like run into any surprises. If you've played the first one, you're probably going to know the story already.
I mean, it does. Now I'm thinking back to the first. Are you sure it's the first one?
I think
one?
I don't, maybe not the first. Maybe
because I heard
maybe
that,
another
like,
one, but it is a soft reboot, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the same time, I mean, it's just like because I'm pretty sure that they've rebooted Dynasty Warriors as well. I mean, so it's kind of it's almost kind of whatever about it,
yeah.
In my opinion, because it's just. You know, it's like new game comes out every like, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. And it's just like, all right, you get to hack and slash with 50 different characters. Whose game? And then all of us are like, yay. Like we, this is my Call of Duty or Madden. You know, I'm always down for a new entry in these, in this series. So for me, $60 is all like, yeah, that's standard. Yes. Cool. I will buy it.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Chris Tales, developed by Dreams Incorporated, published by Modus Games, released July 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, and Stadia for $39.99. Chris Tales is a gorgeous indie love letter to classic JRPGs with a new perspective. Peer into the past, act in the present, and watch as your choices dynamically change the future all on one screen as you play. Join the newly awakened Time Mage Crisbel and her fantastical companions on their journey across a dark fairy tale world facing a grim future. Aki, tell us about your time with Chris Tales.
It's fantastic.
Gotta go a little more than that. We need more. What?
But it's so true. Just buy it. Just buy it. There we go. You play as Crisbel. You are looking for a rabbit that stole a rose from you. Or not a rabbit, a frog.
Rod.
I don't know why I said rabbit. And I don't know why, but you suddenly gain powers to see both the future, the past, and right now. All at the same time. And then the frog starts fucking talking to you. Because, you know, you're totally not tripping balls. I swear. then it's all about, you know, she starts seeing bad things that have in the future. Like there are houses that are just falling apart. They're, you know, places are broken down. And she's like, I want to help these people because these are people I know. Like, I know this family. I know this person. Their houses are destroyed. How can I fix them? And that's one of the first side quests, actually, is dealing with that. And then you have to make a choice. Because this game is all about making choices.
Yeah, I think that's one of my biggest issues with this game is I have decision paralysis when it comes to pick path A or pick path B, but be careful because you can't go back and change your mind.
You can make
a save spot and scum it and get achievement. Yeah, but you know what I mean. Once you make your decision, you're locked into that decision for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and every area has at least one, if not two, of those where you have to choose either help one person or help another person, put one person in charge or put a different person in charge. And you don't really know how that's going to affect the overall outcome until the end of the game. And some of these choices are kind of heartbreaking. Like in the first area, it's, do you want to save this small family's house that they've had for generations? And, you know, the mom's working really hard and wants the son to come and help her because she's planning on giving this home to him when he's older. This is going to be his house, just like it was her house given to her by her parents. Or you have to save the house of the doctor of the place, effectively, because without the house, they can't make medicine. It's like both of those are kind of important. Because one, because it's a very emotional thing, and the other, because shit's kind of needed, you know? You need to be able to heal people. So you end up with this choice, and no matter what you choose, Crisabelle feels like shit. She's like, I want to save both, but I can't. And that is a problem, not just for Joe, but for her too. LA gets a little lighter almost immediately after that. You get to go fight some things, and then you get run out of your town because people are stupid. And then you get to visit new towns because you want to learn more about your powers. And you got your power at this cathedral. So you're visiting all the other cathedrals to get more power, to understand your powers, to understand who you are, because you're an orphan. You want to know more about your family. And, you know, you travel with some companions and you just beat the shit out of things, which is fantastic. What's
the battle system like? Tell us about that.
I was about to start that. Thank you. In it, you in lots of games, when you fight, you're on one side of the screen or the other, and the enemies are on the other side of the screen, and you fight against them. And this one, you're in the middle, typically, and there's enemies on both sides of you. And in that, you can fight like a normal, you know, game where you just attack the person, defend, blah, blah, blah. But Chrysabelle has a special little power. She's able to turn one side, the right-hand side, she's able to send it forward in time. And on the other side, she's able to make it go backwards in time. This includes the enemies that are there. They get older, which sometimes makes some of them stronger, sometimes makes some of them just old farts that, you know, are really easy to beat the shit out of. Or you can make the other ones younger, which either gets rid of some of their training or makes them stronger because they're younger and beefier. And so throughout all this, she's able to alter their stats, basically. And not only that enemies can come at you as old, as young. And if there's like a young version of it on the young side and you make it younger, it's like, this doesn't work. You can't do that. So it just hurts the enemy when you do it instead. But if you decide to undo that, it now makes them an adult version in the present time. And it's the same for making an old one older. It can't get any older, so it just takes damage. And when you revert it, it's only younger in normal time, which is really weird. And it really screws with me sometimes. But with
time twisting in games always messes with.
Yeah, it's fun though. One of your characters actually has an ability that is very based on your ability to do this, because they plant a plant, and if you bring it to the future, either because you're making one side older or you made the other side younger, planted something and then brought it back to current time, the power can go off and hit everything on that side of the field, doing damage to everyone instead of just one character. And it's really cool. It adds just so much to the combat, because not only can you do extra damage that way, but like, say there's a metal enemy and one of your characters, you know, hits them with a water attack, which makes obviously soaks them. And then you forward time. Well, now
they're all rusted. The metal
is rusted. If you send poison on them and then forward them in time, they take a bunch more poison damage because suddenly that poison is racked up over that entire period of time instead of just one little bit, you know, things like that. So it really changes how combat goes. And it took me a little while to really start getting into the mindset of doing this, because I got real confused for a little bit. And I was like, I don't know exactly what I'm doing here, but I'm liking it. And then I got it, and it was like, it makes the game so cool.
You know what else makes the game super cool? The fucking visuals. Oh my God, is this game beautiful?
It's the cutest fucking thing I've ever goddamn seen.
It's like playing a cartoon. I know we've said that with some games before, but just the animation in this game, the visual style of this game, it is so pretty to look at and play, and it's just so well done.
Yeah, and on top of that, all the voice acting is fucking amazing, and it matches so perfectly. How much of this have you played, Joe?
Not as much as I want to. I only have a couple hours in it so far.
Still in the first town then?
I'm after that.
Okay. Who's your favorite character so far? I gotta know.
I don't know. A frog. I love the frog.
Oh, man. You like Matthias? Oh, that hurts my soul.
I'm not as far as you.
Fucking annoying. Yeah. My favorite two characters are both in the very next town. They're in the second fucking town. There's a inventor named Ari or Audrey or something like that, who's just the cutest fucking thing ever. And then there's a shop in the second town that's a cat, an older cat lady. And every time she talks, the last thing she says is meow. And it's so
okay, so I guess I found my favorite character.
Oh, she's so adorable. I love her. She's fantastic.
I think the whole game is adorable.
Yes. Like, when I say the voice actors sound adorable, I mean even lots of the villains. Like, the first villains you fight, the first main bad guys, even they sound adorable. I really like Gally. just one of the two people, you big bad bosses you fight to take down the queen. One of the two of them is Gally, and I love her.
Well, there's a lot of love going on with this game. We just got a sub. Javer just subbed for a second month. Thank you so much. Woo-hoo! Always good seeing new subs in here. Hugs, sub points going up. We'll get more emotes. Cole, we're going to have to put you back to work. Get more cat emotes.
Damn it. I like drawing cat emotes. It's fine.
So $40 for Chris Tales.
Yes.
What do you think of this one?
Yes. Yes.
Fucking yeah.
I just buy it. I don't care how much it costs. Just it's too fucking cute. You just have to get it.
CJ, Iron Fist of Snuff with another 5 sub bomb. So M3017, a Gray Shark, Angerth, B1 Oh, McGee, Doc Havoc got
Jesus
a sub.
Jesus Christ, that's Big Boy McGee. Oh, my God.
Big Boy McGee. I'm trying to read from, like, half the screen away. Angerth just subbed. Big Adam Fest just subbed. Big Adam! I love you, Big Adam. So, thank you, CJ, for all those subs. Thank you, Big Adam, for the sub. Thank you, everybody, for the subs.
Fucking yeah!
Fucking yeah! Right, Pernell. So yeah, seems like you like this one.
Yeah, I don't care how much it costs. You need to buy it to such fucking a point that this has entered my top 10 favorite games, which nothing's entered that since, I think a Plague Tale from a couple years ago.
Damn.
Fucking yeah.
Yeah. Like fucking fucking love this game. It's so amazing. Get it.
I'm the only one who hears the fucking yas, so
yeah,
I get to laugh at that stuff. No one else.
dropping bits!
Dementia, thank you for dropping 10 biddies as well. We have another hype train going. Holy shit, this is like 2 episodes in a row we have a hype train going. I don't know why, but thank you, everyone.
I gave you biddies the other day. I'm too poor to do it again.
No one should give me biddies. No one. It's a bad idea. I will waste it on games. So give me more.
Yeah, you have way too fucking many games. You haven't even played one.
Dropping bits!
Rootbeer dropping 100 biddies. Thank you so much, Rootbeer, who has his own command in chat now. Came in and was set. Surly, I guess you have a command for him?
For Rootbeer? Yes, yeah. He's my unpaid intern. Yeah.
So he came in, typed exclamation Rootbeer, and there was nothing there. It was sad, so I had to go and add one.
He was sad.
Well, I went and added one. Anyway, since we've got you here, the next game to talk about is Orcs Must Die 3, developed and published by Robot Entertainment, released July 23rd on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $29.99. Orcs Must Die 3 ushers orc slaying mayhem to a previously unimaginable scale. All new war scenarios pit players and their friends against the largest orc armies ever assembled. Mountable war machines give players the essential firepower to heave, stab, carbonize, and disarticulate the abominable intruders. Orcs Must Die 3 is the long-awaited successor in the award-winning series. Surly, tell us about your time with Orcs Must Die 3.
So it's very interesting. It's a very, very interesting time. For those who don't know, the Orcs Must Die series is a tower defense game. So you have to protect your rift from the mob, and the mob is basically a bunch of orcs and other little demi-human type of things who just rush it. They just bum rush you, and you have to set up traps in order to stop them from getting into your rift. As you have rift points, so there's three modes of play. There is bitch-ass bitch mode, which is a princess for... And then there's a warlord mode, which is how it's supposed to be played. And then there is rift lord mode, which you have to unlock by beating the campaign. I'm just go ahead and say this. I did not beat the campaign because that game is very challenging. I'm not going to say it's hard. I will say it is challenging. So yeah, I played on the normal mode because Surly's not a bitch ass bitch and we don't go to bitch ass bitch modes.
Yes, we do. I do.
No, I don't.
Cole does.
I just do.
I'm always on bitch ass mode.
Yeah, I think you.
I just suffer.
You, Chris, I think Purnell, I don't think Tim does bitch ass bitch mode, but yeah, I do bitch ass bitch mode.
Nah,
I have no shame, bitch. I got arthritis.
I am going to play the game that it has been intended for me to play it. Not any, like, you know, physical things, notwithstanding cold, so you're immune to that. That's fine. Anyway, the level, so what I, it's going to be hard to articulate
fucking
this,
yeah,
because as you guys know, I normally write this in. The first thing that hit me is the graphics on the game. Which is weird.
You want to know what else hit you? A sub courtesy of Carnage.
Oh my gosh.
You got a sub.
Carnage, you didn't have to do that. Thank you.
Fucking girl.
It's so sweet. I'll spam wet pancakes later. But yeah, so it's like super, super colorful and super, super saturated, almost to the point of pain for me. Like it was really, I was just like, ooh. Like, I was turned off at how bright it was. And, like, I don't know. Maybe it's my TV because my TV is, like, pimp. But I could, like, see the little lines in between the characters. Like, I don't know. It felt like there were, like, I guess polygon models and they just put skins on them. And I could see the polys underneath, even though that doesn't make any sense. But that is how I felt it looked. And I was just like, huh. Okay. But I guess inside the game, it was fine. The graphics were completely serviceable. It was just really, really bright. And I was, I didn't care for it too much. It was distracting for me, but that's just me. Anyways,
I thought it was pretty. I didn't have an issue with the visuals. I thought it was a good looking game.
Well, I mean, I admit to having a bit of light sensitivity, so I felt it was just too bright for me.
Did you adjust the brightness in the game?
Didn't I say earlier that I am not a bitch ass bitch and I play things as intended?
The brightness isn't a bitch ass bitch setting. The brightness is fucking brightness.
Well, the bitch ass bitch setting isn't a bitch ass bitch setting. It's obviously clearly meant to be there for people to play.
I mean, I didn't say it. I did say it.
You did say it. Whatever.
All right, we'll move to the gameplay, though. It is super challenging.
You adjusted the contrast, you bitch. Punk bitch.
You better not see that motherfucking eye. That eye is not supposed to be visible.
Don't you fuck with the sharpness.
So I guess when you're first learning, the game will kind of sort of tell you how to play, but the game also assumes that you've played this game before. So if you've played Orcs Must Die before, you're probably going to breeze through it. I'm very aware of the game series. I've not played it before. And I was like, oh, hey, I know this. I want to play it. And I'm fine with tower defense anyway. So I was like, well, which button do I press so I can lay the traps? Because, you know, there's no tutorials in these games anymore and all that good stuff. Which... if there's a game that needs a tutorial, it's a tower defense game. I'm just going to put this out there. If you're playing a tower defense game or making a tower defense game and you don't have a tutorial, you are doing a disservice to your players. That is just my point of view. But it's not too bad. The orcs and other things, will come out, and they all have specific patterns. And you, it's like the ghostly orcs will run their patterns, and you can set your traps accordingly. Yeah. Here's the bad thing. Even though you set your traps, the orcs do not...
Cole, look at you dropping subs. Thank you, Cole.
So the orcs come out in waves, but it's like a never-ending wave. It'll be like 5 orcs, then 2 orcs, then 4 orcs, something like that. It's completely random, but your traps have a reset time. So if you have like just regular old spike traps, the first 5 will come in and they'll set off the spike trap and die, more than likely. And then the next 2 or 3 will come in. That trap is resetting, so they get through. So you do have points that you start off with 4,000. You can earn more points as you defend your rift by killing the orcs. So you can, in theory, set more traps as you go along, but that is kind of difficult to do, especially when you're being swarmed. There are trinkets in the game that you can buy that will help you do various things. One of the trinkets that I immediately purchased was helping to lower trap reset time, because that trap thing, yeah, it will mess you up. You'll be in the rift room, which is the final room, trying to defend your rift, and you have no traps set, and you're just shooting them with, you know, R1, trying to kill them while waiting for your traps to reset.
I wasn't paying attention the one round that I played, and I like dropped all my traps right in the line, ready to prepare for everyone coming at me. The wave is over. I'm like, all right, I'm doing great. Drop a few more traps, start the round. They're coming out a different entrance. and I wasn't paying attention.
Good job.
You will experience that second level on. You will start to have more doors, and it gets challenging.
Challenging, and, like, hectic, fast-paced.
Very fast. I mean, I didn't mind it. I died a lot. But that's okay. Because you don't learn anything when you win, right? You have to lose in order to learn things.
If you say so, I'd rather not die and just win.
Whatever. you start out with 2 characters. Egan has a magical bow. The other girl, I forgot her name. I didn't play her. But she has a blunderbuss. I don't care. The weapons that they have, really, they're not meant for tackling to kill. They're just meant for finishing off. You want your traps to do the majority of the damage there.
Yeah.
And there are some traps that are just stupid. There's some traps that are just dumb. And it's like one of them, I was excited when I got it. I was like, yes, I have this trap. I am going to do all sorts of things with it. It never worked as intended. It's a gravity trap, and you put it on the ceiling. It's supposed to lift up the enemies and then drop them and causing damage. But the thing is, it never drops them hard enough to kill them. So that's a useless trap, and you've wasted your money on it. Can you get your money back if you sell it? Yeah, but that's probably going to happen while you're in the middle of fighting the orcs. And the game does not tell you when you're going to be fighting different creatures. I got to the 3rd level, and you start fighting kobolds, which is fine. They're super easy to dispatch, but they're super quick. You're supposed to lay down this tar trap to slow them down, but the game doesn't tell you that. So the kobolds, they are only designed to set off your traps. That is it. That's all they're supposed to do.
Holy shit, Big Adam Fest dropping another 5 gift subs. Thank you, Big Adam. Let's see, who got it?
Fucking yeah!
I think that's a name. LaBelle.
That's with the fog, right? Yeah.
Island Bum. These names are great. Lightspeed Halo and Victor X. I know those
fucking
2.
Fucking yeah!
Pernell, thank you for announcing those. We will be hearing your voice for the next minute. continue on with the game. What else do you want to say about Orcs Must Die 3?
Fucking
other than
yeah!
the fact that it's really, really challenging, because it is. And there's weekly challenges that you can do. Obviously, they refresh every week. I got the feeling that you can unlock more.
Fucking habits, yeah!
But, I mean, I didn't make it that far. I wouldn't make it that far. I think I played that game for like 4 hours. I was like, I need a break. I like the idea of you can, you know, buy things to help you out. You can buy different weapons for yourself. You can upgrade your traps. It's a typical tower defense game, but it's one of the, you know, harder ones out there. It really is.
So it is sitting at $30. Something that we should also mention, it has co-op, online co-op.
It does. So you can play with someone.
You and I will have to play this together eventually. I know you don't like playing with people before review, so it doesn't taint your opinion. But $30 on this one. What do you think of Orcs Must Die 3?
I think if you are a fan of the first two, well, first three, because this is the fourth one, actually. I think if you're a fan of that series, you're probably going to pick this up. I think if you are new to tower defense, probably not the best game to start here. I would give it a solid try. It. I mean, I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. And I did learn through pain and death.
Oh, good old learning. All right. Well, that is it for you. I guess we will let you get going, Ms. Surly. Thank you for joining us for our 700th episode.
Thank you for having me. Can I say wet pancakes, though?
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Does she have to go?
I have to eat. I'm hungry.
If you're going to say wet pancakes, you have to say it like George.
I can't say it like him. I can only say it like Surly.
Well, then go ahead.
Wet pancakes.
Oh, that wasn't fun at all.
Wet pancakes!
There we go. Thank you, George.
Later.
See you, Arlen.
All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, developed by Took Games, published by Wizards of the Coast, released June 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. The world of Dungeons & Dragons comes to life in an explosive action RPG filled with real-time combat and dynamic co-op. Choose your hero and join up to three friends to battle legendary monsters, earn powerful gear, and unlock new abilities to take on even bigger challenges. Jacob, you and I played this one. What do you think of it?
Well, I'll be honest. At first, I was really not impressed with this game. When Joe and I were playing together, he's playing on Xbox Series X. I'm playing on my, you know, Xbox One. Joe's there being like, oh, you're slowing me down. You know, both because I just first off, because I just started playing the game. But also, we think I might be causing, like, it might have been messing with load times, but me playing with other people, and last night I played with a bunch of people who were only playing on Xbox One, our load times were slow as well, so, you know, we can get to that later.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
You just did.
Good. You know, I remember when every time I talk about tabletop RPGs and Pathfinder and shit, Joe, you call me a fucking nerd, and here you are playing a video game about Dungeons & Dragons, the tabletop RPG. Fuck you.
Man, that sounds like something that a fucking nerd would complain about.
Hey, fucking nerd.
Nerd.
Nerd. Oh, Dark Alliance.
Dicks.
Tell us about this nerd game, nerd.
So the storyline is already, like, you know, there's already a storyline to it. There are four set characters. One is a dwarf. There's a human guy that's got a hammer and he just clobbers everything. There is a woman who, or is she? She's adopted by the dwarf, I think.
Is she hot? Like,
I mean, she's pretty. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, there we go. That's enough for me.
You're like, all right, buying this now.
There's boobs. I'm buying it. All right.
So, but she's like the archer. And then there's what? I feel like they changed the name. They don't call them dark elves anymore, right? I thought they're called something else. Okay. Yeah, because I was just like, I thought that they determined like that was like kind of racist, so they stopped calling them that. But I was just like, I don't remember what the new name was. Anywho. And that guy runs around and he's really fast, but his attacks, well, his attacks still do more damage than me. You have to, you know, right the wrongs of the land, and, you know, it's a standard fantasy plot line.
Yeah, story's nothing super to write home about.
The story is not. However, the dialogue, if you're willing to, like, just sit there, like, you know, there's goblins right around the corner, and if you're just willing to sit there and listen to them, it's fucking hilarious. Yeah, like, there's goblins who are just like, hey, you want to see my toenail collection? And the other one's like, absolutely. Like, you know, it's just all this little shit. And the thing is that, you know, at first when I was first playing it, I was just like, it's like, there's not much to the design of, like, the levels. Like, it's not, you know, it's not that great, like, whatever. But the more and more I've been playing it with other people online, like, I've been taking, you know, because my guy sucks, and so everyone's just like, yeah, we're going to be carrying you anyway. And so, like, I've had more time to, like, just stand around and look around at the world, and it's just, like, it's very detailed. It's very beautiful. There's a tutorial level that, you know, tries to show you all the different controls, and I didn't remember any of it. And also the game just doesn't really explain what you're supposed to be doing in any of the menus. And so, like, the first two times, especially when I was running around with Joe, I didn't know that I was supposed to be updating my character, like, in these different menus. And so, like, I could have been upping my strength or my fortitude or whatever the heck they call it.
You can only do that shit in between missions, though. Like, the equipment that you pick up, the upgrades that you get, you can only do that in town between missions.
And on top of it, upgrading your stuff, like, and adding stuff into your inventory. Joe, you were explaining, like, the whole process and, like, how it's a pain in the butt to do anything with your inventory. And I'm going to agree with that, because I still don't know how to sell any of my shit. Like,
you sell through the merchant. The merchant lets you sell things or upgrade items. You can only sell what is not equipped. If it's equipped, you're going to have to leave the merchant, open your inventory, unequip the item, exit your inventory, talk to the merchant, and sell it. It is a pain in the ass. They need to make it so that you can just equip items through the merchant so you don't have to fuck around, backing out of menus, going back in and out, doing, it's like jumping through hoops to try and upgrade and compare equipment in this game.
I was also going to say, it also does not help that the text in this game is very small.
Yeah.
And there's no setting to fix it. I pretty much had to stand in front of my TV just so I could complete the tutorial, because I couldn't read what was on the my objectives of what else I was supposed to be doing within the tutorial. And I was sitting 8-10 feet away from my TV tops.
Text size is an issue.
And I don't have a small TV either. Now, with that being said, like, running through the game and the different levels that I've played, as a single player thing, it wasn't particularly fun. It is like a regular game of Dungeons and Dragons. The game
Best
is
with
only
friends.
As good. Yeah, it's, well, or it's just hell. I mean, except with you, Joe, I've been playing with complete strangers. And the thing is that it's only as good as the group that you're playing with. Like, if you've got a bunch of people who are just like, whatever, and they don't talk and they don't communicate and they, like, don't laugh at shit, like, it's just, like, it's kind of, it feels like a crap game. But, like, when I've been playing with a bunch of different people, and when I have a group of four and everything's flowing great, this game is an absolute fucking blast. Like, I mean, my first awesome experience on with a four-player group, Joe, I was telling you about this guy. I thought he's Eastern European. I think he might be French. I'm not entirely sure.
Doesn't matter.
But, like, it doesn't. What? Shut up. Anyway, so, like, he's level 15. The other two people are, like, somewhere between, like, levels, like, 6 and 8. And there I am with my shitty little level 2 dwarf. And I'm constantly getting wrecked. Like, it's just whatever. And he's just like, oh, I help you up. And I'm just like, oh, well, you know, I'm just getting constantly fucking killed. It's nothing, like, you know, I'm not going to be much help on this mission. And he's just like, follow me. I carry you. And like the dude is just like laughing maniacally as he's just like running through and just killing all these goblins. And like he is living his best life in this game. And it's just, I was just like, and playing with this guy and everyone else, he's just like, holy shit, let's just let him do all the work. Cause he doesn't give a shit. Like he's running through with the human guy with the hammer. And he's just annihilating everybody left and right.
Yeah, that's the dude I use, the dude with the hammer.
Yeah, that's pretty much, as far as I could tell, that's the only guy I ever want to use. My dwarf is level 13, and he still gets, like, knocked out with two hits.
Well, it depends on the level that you pick. It depends on the difficulty that you pick.
Joe, it really doesn't. My guy just gets
he just get gets better at the game.
He gets the shit kicked out of him. But then it's just like...
My biggest gripes with the game, I've told you this, I like the game, but I'm not happy with it. I think the combat is too slow, turning is too slow. Like, you'll get surrounded by enemies, you'll start attacking, and he'll attack 2 feet next to the enemy instead of attacking the enemy. Like, lining up your attacks is way harder than it should be. There is a lock-on, but you have to click the stick instead of, you know, just like holding a trigger or something. So it's tough to really get the lock on to work as well as you want it to. And once you kill an enemy, you have to re-lock on to another one. It doesn't just auto lock on to the next enemy.
And on top of it, like the attacks just, I don't know. I've unlocked most of my guy's stuff and I still like, it still feels like I could be doing like 500 damage and it still feels like I'm doing jack fucking shit every single time I play. Now, thankfully, like all the groups I'm in, they're just like, yeah, man, whatever. It's fine. But it's just, if it weren't for these groups that I'm playing in, I don't know how much fun, like, I'd actually be having.
I honestly think you're at a detriment because you're just being carried through harder difficulties and you're not enjoying the game at your own pace.
The thing is that I don't know that I actually am. I'm pretty sure that, like, the group I was in last night had it on the easiest setting, but...
Well, even still, you're running through things being carried through, and you're not getting to enjoy it at your own pace. I think you should... Like, I've been doing this more solo, offline. It's, granted, not as fun as when I was playing online with you, or I was lucky enough to play with the ID at Xbox team the one time with Carnage.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we played on stream, and I was the big hammer dude, and I was at a benefit there because I played the first level already, and they never did, so I got to tell them, like, where the secrets were, and I'm like, watch over here, and it reminds me of another issue I have with that first level, is the fucking ice in that first level is bullshit for a first level in a video game. That ice, like, watching the ID stream, they spent the first 5 minutes dying to the ice at the first chest in the game. Someone would die, they would be in the ice, someone would run over to them, still getting hit by the ice, reviving the person who's dead, and then they die, and then the person who's revived gets up, tries reviving them, and they die. Then you resurrect and run back over. Like, there's a sword on fire that gives you a warmth bonus that you have to have in order to traverse the ice, and it doesn't tell you
that. Yeah, it you're just supposed to know.
Yeah, that ice being on the first level is bullshit. I will say that is some unfair shit, but the game is $40. What do you think about it?
I mean, obviously you could try it because it's on Xbox Game Pass, and I do recommend that you try it. I recommend that you find a group of, you know, if you have a group of four people that you can play with, I highly recommend you try it out with all four people together and you go through it. Online with strangers is also a blast as long as everyone else also has mics, because communication is key with this game. Mm-hmm. That being said, I wish that there was, I mean, granted, I've realized obviously everyone could, obviously people could go off and get a subscription for like 1 month to Xbox Game Pass or some shit like that. And do
fucking it, yeah.
I wish that there was like a deal with, I think it was Torchlight did this years ago, where it was like you could buy 4 Steam keys for like $60 or something like that, and then just hand them out to like 3 of your friends. Like, so all 4 of you could go questing together. I wish that there was something offered like that. You know, just so you could be like, all right, well, I bought this. Hey guys, let's go play this. I'm having a lot of fun, but the thing is that the fun I'm having is because it's with other people.
Yeah.
So
the game's only as good as the company you keep.
Right.
And we have good company because Xbox Fire just dropped a Prime sub. Thank you so much.
So, I mean, I do enjoy the game. I'm having fun with it. It's staying on my Xbox for the time being. But I would recommend that you try it. There's definitely a bunch of kinks that need to get worked out within the game. Did somebody just giggle at when I said kinks, or is that you moving something, Joe?
I didn't move anything.
Oh, I don't know. All of a sudden,
Aki probably giggled at kink.
I heard this snicker. I heard this snicker as soon as I said kinks. Like, I was just like, all right, real mature guys.
Well, there are a couple things that I think might be going on for why you're having so much trouble in the game, why you keep dying. I wouldn't be shocked if this game was actually raising enemy levels up to whoever the highest level person is.
Well, and that's what was happening with the Eastern European guy, because like they were definitely matched to like level 15, because he was literally carrying three other people.
That's what tabletop RPGs do. They do stuff like that. So I would not be shocked if the game was doing that too. And it's made to be played with other people. So
no.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can agree with the try it. It's on Game Pass, so just fucking try it.
Yeah.
Well,
and
well, then needs
I
to
might grab
set.
This.
As I said, I'm enjoying it. So at minimum, it's a try it for me. I'll be honest. If I was going on when I was first playing, I would have been like, I initially was like, hell no with this game. But with the people that I've been playing with online, and by the way, I haven't played shit online with other people in years because I'm a parent and I don't have time to deal with 13-year-olds who are telling me what they were doing to my mom last night. You know,
it
in
was
online
fucking,
games.
That's what they were doing.
Oh, is that what they meant?
I hate to break it to you, man. You might have a new stepdad.
Shit. Okay. Well, that's awkward. Okay.
Oh, shit. But
like, seriously, I, and so it's just like, I've been having a great time playing this online with other people. And so it's just definitely try it. I mean, if you like it, obviously buy it, support the game makers. But at the very least, do try that, this game. It's a lot of fun with other people, and I recommend it for that kind of stuff. Solo, not so much.
Cool. All right, well, that's it for you. We'll let you get going.
Yay!
Get your ass on out of here.
Okay.
Do you have any final words for 700th episode?
I don't know. Is it too much to wish for 700 more episodes?
Yes. Fuck you.
All right, I'll wish for... Why do I hate us? Well, Cole, we don't have all a podcast for me to discuss that. But
we're already like almost 2 hours in.
I'm tired. I'm speedrunning my shit. Fuck y'all.
I'm going slow on purpose because I actually enjoyed my games this time. And sadly, unlike last time, I think I've really enjoyed all my games this time.
All right. Well, Cole's going to speedrun, so we're going to move on to the next game. Jacob, I'm going to ignore you if you say anything else. Next game to talk about is called Get Packed, Fully Loaded, developed by Moonshine Studios, published by CoatSync, released July 29th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $19.99. When a greedy salt mining company takes over... Ditchlington, last ditch removals must handle the hostile eviction. With little time and even less caution, your ragtag removals team gets to work rapidly relocating the entire town, leaving a trail of destruction, explosions, and debris in your wake. Cole, tell us about your time with Get Packed, Fully Loaded.
This is one of those physics types of co-op games where... you're trying to get stuff out of the house and into a moving truck. We've seen quite a few of these kind of games. I do have to say that story-wise, I think Get Packed has one of the best stories. It's really humorous. But I do have to harp on the devs here because I put in the option to turn on subtitles because there's actual voice acting going on. And the story is told entirely through the voice narration. I turned on the subtitles and they didn't work.
Hmm.
I have not been able to make subtitles work in this game for the life of me. You have to apply them. I applied them, restarted, started the whole game over, still couldn't get subtitles. I don't know why. They need to work on that. Now, moving on from there, the whole concept of like, oh, there's this salt company and it's destroying everything, and like you're kind of taking advantage of the situation to get some cold hard cash by being a really bad moving service. It's funny and it's really well done. I will say the 2D character designs and 2D character animation are way better than the actual character models. The 3D models, some of them, if you're playing with like both of the female characters, for example, they could be kind of hard to actually tell apart. And so you kind of rely a little too much on, am I red? Am I blue? What color am I? Where am I at? again, you're taking items out of a house or a building. In one case, it's, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say you end up in prison. Shit goes awry, very much so. It's a hilarious story that leads to a lot of variety, way more than just, hey, this is a house, move stuff out of it. Whatever's in the back of the truck when you send it out is what you get paid for. There are achievements for sending yourself. There's a cat in every single level. If you can get every single cat, you can send them out. There are bonus objectives that you may try to complete. The client, for example, may say, oh, I want this one specific chair. You need to send it. And also, you can't damage it. So if it's damaged, the client request goes away. You have to be super careful with that item. Now, this does lead me to my one gameplay gripe, is that when you are playing cooperatively, there's a flat pack skill that you have available, right? And you need to grab an item. It's available whether you're single player or co-op. But when you're playing cooperatively, if you're using that flat pack, there's no indicator anywhere on the screen of the how long your cooldown is for that. But there is a cooldown before you can use it again. So basically with flat pack, you have to grab an item. Using left trigger and right trigger. Don't break it or you cannot flat pack it. And then
can you flat pack biddies?
I mean, yes, but it would be a waste of your skill.
Oh, because Latino Heat just dropped 100 biddies. Thank you, Latino Heat. Nice.
What is a flat pack?
Flat pack.
Yeah,
as that. In you're packing it into a box.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it might be a table, but if you flat pack it, it goes into a small box that's more manageable, doesn't take up as much room inside the truck unless you put more in there. So then you make more money. Which is important because the levels.
Hockey just are, won a game.
Wow. The levels are how much you earn determines how many stars you get. I will tell you, playing by myself solo, I got 1 star on the first level and could not beat the second.
Oh, geez.
You absolutely have to have a friend. And even then, you need more than one because number one and I were playing it. Number one and I are like, we got this shit down to an art, right? We fucking completed Overcooked twice. Well, we haven't completed the second one the second time. We're working on it. But anyway, process is there. So we know what we're doing. We can't get more than 2 stars on any level. We just have, and most of the time we barely get one.
Jeez.
One of the biggest reasons, though, and as I was mentioning before I was so rudely interrupted, that flat pack skill that you really need to put to use so that your items get out without being damaged and so that you can fit more into the truck. When you're playing cooperatively, only one person can use the flat pack and then it goes into cooldown for everybody. But there's no indicator on the screen to say, oh, yeah, flat pack is or is not available. So there definitely needs to be something, if you're going to have to share it, which you shouldn't have to share it, in my opinion, in the first place. But if you're going to have to share it, then
make some kind of indicator so you know.
Some kind of indicator that it's available or not, especially because you can play the game online as well. And trust me, ain't fucking nobody wanting to talk to randoms, y'all. Okay? So They absolutely need to put some kind of indicator there. That's my primary concern with the game, is that inability to just know if your skill is available or not. Second one, much more minor, would just be some kind of difficulty slider would be nice. But that's a me issue.
No.
I'm broken. I have arthritis. I want to play that shit on bitch mode.
Bitch ass bitch mode.
That
Selena doesn't believe in.
My fingers are crooked and my time is precious. Okay? So let me have a bitch mode. Other than that, had a lot of fun. That's a pretty solid game.
$20. What do you think?
I give it a recommended try it. This is one of those because it's like, it's not for everybody. Yeah. Right? It's just, either you love these kind of games or you don't. I can be firmly in the middle on them, and just one minor difference can push me one way or the other.
Yeah.
With this one, I'm far more on the I like it side, but it just needs some quality of life improvements. Cool. Yeah.
All right, next up is Paint the Town Red, developed and published by Southeast Games, released July 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Paint the Town Red is a chaotic first-person melee game set in a different location and time periods, and featuring massive roguelite adventure. The voxel-based enemies can be destroyed completely dynamically using almost anything that isn't nailed down. Cole, I'm guessing the red that you're painting the town with is blood?
Yeah, very much so.
Shocker.
Also, I am really surprised that they mentioned the roguelite adventure. Somehow, in my knowledge of this game, that information evaded me. And so I'm playing this and I'm like, yes, bar fight, haha, kill people. And then I'm like, yes, other scenarios. I don't want to spoil them. Yes, other scenarios, kill people, haha. Oh, arena mode. Now I'm in arena and people are trying to kill me, haha. And then I'm like, what's this beneath mode? What is this? And then all of a sudden I am in this whole ass complicated voxel first person roguelite dungeon crawler. Where the hell did this shit come from?
From the main menu.
This was some sneaky shit. This was just supposed to be a goofy fighter, arena fighter, right? Where the hell, like, you've got magical abilities and there's zombies, and then you could buy an actual another bigger monster that makes it even harder, which I did, and then I died. It was very quick. I don't want to talk about it. And I'm just standing there in this spot and looking at the zombies and stuff in these caverns, and I'm like, these motherfuckers went and snuck a whole real-ass game in the bottom of this goofy little bar fight game, and I missed it.
Surprise.
I'm kind of proud of them for it. GG, guys, you did it. Nobody saw that coming. Except people who read the descriptions, which couldn't be me. Yeah, I was completely thrown off. Like, where the fuck did all this come from? It's really well thought out. It's really well executed. It's a full-ass roguelike ziggurat-style voxel dungeon crawler type thing. And it's good. I was pleasantly surprised. I died a lot. I didn't make it very far. But I
that
had
doesn't
a lot of fun.
Shock me at all.
Well, because, you know, I was 100% like, I'm going to focus on this arena mode and kick ass at it and be good at it. And then I ended up going, I guess before I review this, I should probably go check out, see what this beneath thing is. And then I'm like,
oh, this is the game.
Where did this whole ass game come from?
Oh, shit.
But I did play it. I played it quite a bit. And I was like, I love that kind of gameplay. And I did not expect to see it in there. And I'm really happy about it.
So is there anything else to it besides just like punching the shit out of people?
Well, not for the basic modes. Like, you can pick up weapons and you can have super abilities. There's a shit ton of modifiers. You can make it easier. You can make it harder. The achievements are a nightmare. A lot of that shit was sitting at 0%. I don't think they're glitched. I just think they're fucking hard. I don't know how you're supposed to clear those rooms in 30 seconds. That shit's tough. But yeah, it's just that they've just snuck a whole ass game in the bottom and literally called it beneath. So they're like, we knew what we were doing. It's great. Cool.
So overall, yeah. $20 on this one. Give us a verdict.
I give it a buy it. I wasn't expecting what I got, but it's definitely worth the price.
Well, beans. Sounds good. All right, next game is The Forgotten City, developed by Modern Storyteller, published by Dear Villagers, released July 28th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4 for $29.99, PC for $24.99. Travel 2,000 years into the past and relive the final days of a cursed Roman city where if one person sins, everyone dies. Unravel the mystery at the city's heart by exploring its deadly time loop, questioning locals, exploring, and solving puzzles. Aki, tell us about your time with The Forgotten City.
Okay. First, I am sorry to say that this is based on a fucking Skyrim mod. I hate Skyrim with a goddamn passion.
Why?
It just became a thing. There's some people over at the other place I work at, an indie gamer team, that really, really, really like Skyrim, have put like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, possibly even 1,000 hours into the damn game. And all they did was talk about that, and I just got worn down between that and them re-releasing the fucking game like 20 fucking times in like 4 years.
We should have done this review when Chris Taylor was here, because he's a Skyrim guy too.
Fuck him. It's like, I just got to that point where I'm like, no, fuck Skyrim. I want nothing to do. I own Skyrim, and it got released so many times that I haven't even bothered to install it and play, because I'm like, I already hate this game and I haven't even done anything with it.
Okay, well, this started its life as a mod for Skyrim, but the game has nothing to do with Skyrim.
So yay!
So you gotta judge the game on its own.
Well, as I said, the game is good. I'm just sad to report that it started off as a fucking Skyrim mod, because Skyrim sucks. hey, I'm honest. It's the truth. Anyways,
Skyrim does not suck.
Yes, it does. Just get over it. In this, you play as an unnamed person. You can choose either to be male or female. And then you go searching for some dude. Some lady named Karen tells you to go find a guy. Guess she needs to speak to the manager. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'll always make that joke. So off you go. And then you fall into a hole that you can't get out of. Because, of course you do. And then you find a portal to go back in time. Because, of course you do. And then you're transported to this wonderful world where there's golden statues of people everywhere and they whisper things to you every time you walk past them. That's not fucking creepy at all. And there's like 20 people living here. And you're told there's one golden rule. Don't break it. No one fucking tells you what the fucking rule is, ever. But don't break it, because it'll kill not just you, but it kills everyone. The main line from this is, the many will pay for the sins of the one, and they very much mean this. You're going to fuck up a lot. And every time you fuck up, the statues come alive and shoot you with arrows that turn everyone alive into gold.
Oh, God.
Including you. Yeah. If you're wondering where all those great, amazing statues of gold people came from, yeah, they're people who fucked up. Ain't it glorious? And you're just trying to figure out who breaks the rule and how to stop them. The problem is, there's a bunch of stupid assholes here that are planning on breaking the fucking rule because they're all stupid assholes. And you have to solve a lot of fucking problems. But first, you also have to figure out what the fuck the problems are. So you have to search around. You have to get into places that you probably shouldn't be. But you can't get caught. Because if you get caught, you break a rule. Even though there's only one rule, you do a lot of different things. It's a problem. And it ends up being basically do unto others as you would have done unto you or something. But it's so fucking vague that literally anything could or could not be that. One of the examples is there is a guy who refuses to sell life-saving medicine unless you pay an absurd, obscene amount of money that no one can afford. That's not against the rules. Because he would expect everyone to do it to him. Okay, then if I expect everyone else here to try and kill me, why is it wrong for me just to murder them all and be done with this? Game doesn't explain that to you. Which is kind of a problem with the game there. It doesn't really explain all of why this is right and why it's wrong, even though in the player's mind, some of this stuff is clearly fucked up. But, you know, you have, you know, mythological things that you find throughout, like a bow that can turn things to gold, which is super awesome. You know, kind of like the bows that statues shoot and turns everything to gold. Woohoo! You get one if you want, if you can find it anyways. And basically, all you're doing is just trying to stop the golden rule from being broken and get out, basically. But every time someone breaks the golden rule, you can die, which means you have to go back to a previous save, or you can follow basically the leader of this place, and he summons the portal that you entered from, and you get to loop back through the day, right at the back at the beginning of the day, but you retain everything that you had on you and all of the knowledge you had. And that's how you're supposed to solve this place, by just sitting there and being like, okay, this person dies this way. Now I know I need to prevent this, or I have these items now to make this a little easier. I have this money that I took from old chests that didn't belong to anyone, because stealing is wrong, even though no one sees you steal. There's so many things that are wrong. So all this money, anything that you pick up just goes with you, and it's all just about trying to solve the fucking mysteries of this fucking place. There's four different ways of finishing the game. There's one really bad way, two moderately good ways, and one pretty good way, which involves, you know, doing various things. Ironically, the one that I found the hardest to get was the first one, and it is actually legitimately the easiest one to get. Because I just never thought of doing what it told you to do. So, you know, you find out lots of things about this place. You know, right now it's all Romans are mostly who's here, with a few Greeks. But you find that their culture, this is basically hell, or the underworld, I guess, more aptly. And each one is built atop of another culture's version of it. So you get lots of different people who believe different things, and you see how their beliefs have changed from different groups. So it's pretty cool. There's not a lot of combat in it, because if you get into combat, it means you've broken the golden rule, or the person trying to beat the shit out of you has broken the golden rule. So not really a bunch of combat, but there's a whole bunch of exploration. This place is fucking huge, and it takes a while to load initially, because almost the entire area is open to you with only a few seconds of loading in between areas. That's because cool. It all loads at the beginning. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
It's a good looking game too, looking at the screenshots. Yeah, everything looks really good.
It's pretty. I'll definitely give it that. It's not the most beautiful game I've played, but it is very pretty. I'll definitely give it that. The voice acting is good. All the people have decent voices. Some of them sound regal when they're supposed to sound regal. You know, others sound like they're lowly peasanty types, and that fits their character. They did a pretty good job on hiring people to play these different characters.
Overall, $30 on this one. What do you think? Well, $30 on console, $25 on PC. Got to clarify that. What do you think of that?
Yeah, totally. I think it's worth it. It's going to take you a while. You'll probably spend about that many hours, if not double that, trying to figure out how to get all the endings. It's fun. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, that's it for you. I guess we'll let you get going, too.
Yep, I guess.
Do you have any final words for the 700th episode?
Titty Twisters Anonymous.
Jesus, of course it's something like that.
Of course it was. It's Lord. Me. I can't be appropriate. You know that. It's not within my soul, my being, anything. I can't be appropriate. You know this.
Yeah, I know.
Don't try to put me into a square hole, man. You can't do that.
Can't keep me caged up forever, man.
Exactly, man.
All right, get the hell out of here. All right, Cole, you ready for the rest of yours?
Yep.
Now that it's just us.
Oh, thank goodness.
Everybody else is gone. Oh, man, I hate all of them. I can't stand any of those people. They're just all awful.
Is that what you're going to say when I leave, too? You're going to be like, finally,
about goddamn time she's gone. If you leave, Norg's going to give you a good farewell, just like he's given everybody else.
Oh, no.
Pappy's farewell was so bad that he hasn't talked to me in years.
Everybody keeps expecting me to leave, and I'm like, I'm just here every week, two times a week.
All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Natural Instincts, developed by Dreamstorm Studios, published by Games Operators, released July 22nd on Steam Early Access for $9.99. Protect the environment and save it from harm. Give commands to the animals, observe their rituals, and help them survive. Face different disasters, react to human presence, and help the animal kingdom flourish in this unique environmental experience. Cole, tell us about Natural Instincts.
This is basically The Sims, but without people. And instead of people, you have bunnies and wolves and deer and boar. And that's the long and short of it. In its current state, the game is still in early access. There are four campaigns available. Five. I actually just looked over at the other screen to be sure, and it's five. Oh, well, I guess the tutorial doesn't count as a whole one. I was right. There's four. There's the tutorial. There's a campaign centered around each playable animal at this time. Now, when you are in control of an animal in this simulation or a species of animal, they are dependent on you for fucking everything. You gotta tell them to go eat. You gotta tell them to go get water. You gotta tell them to go to bed, and if you let their needs get too low, like a sim, they'll fucking die, right? But if you're lucky, and you're really good, then you get all of their needs up to as high as they can go, then they can mate, and then you get to watch some mildly pixelated animal fucking.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have let Aki stay on for this one.
Right? I had to laugh because, like, it was like, mate the rabbits. And I was like, surely it's just going to be like Viva Pinata and have them do like a dance where they hop around each other and then they disappear into the den. Nope, there is mounting. I was like, oh, that was a choice. I guess they really wanted to, like, go all in on the simulator aspect. But that also leads me to, they really went so far all into the simulator aspect that, like, if your animals are crossing the street, they can get hit by a car. You have to go and, like, stop them and tell them to sit their asses down until the car goes by. You have to worry about wildfires. You have to worry about poachers.
I do not see a mature warning content on Steam page. Run over some fucking animals.
There
it is. Is it bloody?
You know, I didn't let any get killed. Oh. I was actually really good about it. I did have them hunt. There was not really any blood when they hunted, so I imagine it's probably just like it falls over.
Explodes into confetti.
Confetti mode. I would pay extra for that. It does kind of just like fall. When they hunt, they just kind of like fall over and lay down. So it's not a particularly gruesome game, even though you can zoom in quite a bit. You're not getting like a National Geographic type of display going on here. There's clearly some limitations with the engine. But it looks good for where it's at. In its current state, you only have one biome. It is early access. I'm not going to hold it against them in any way. Like I said, there is still the four different campaigns, so you've still got plenty to do. But in their Kickstarter, they did promise, like, they hit all of their goals and was way more than 100% funded. So, like, there should be, like, Antarctica and Africa and all kinds of other biomes cropping up in the future as the game just progresses its way out of early access.
Yeah, they say it's supposed to be in early access for about a year. So
yeah, Yeah, that makes plenty of sense. I didn't have any problems playing it while I was. The frame rate was steady. It played well, controlled well. You do pretty much everything with the mouse, and every now and then you can use like the keyboard to speed time up with, or each different species is like linked to a number, and you can press one to bring up all the rabbits, for example, or two to bring up all the wolves. If you don't have access to controlling an animal, it's grayed out, so you can only have to like manage the ones that you have control of for that campaign. Or you can do free play and just have everybody around. If you have a species that dies off, you can't keep them all alive, get fucked, game over. That's how extinction works.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So it's a really good simulator. There's definitely plenty of room for them to grow. I do appreciate how they've thought out, like, there's going to be perks and like, actually have to pay attention to the types of animals that you're breeding to so that they are, you know, better suited for the area they're living in, and they have the perks that they need to survive and all that. And then you also have to be mindful of other scenarios that can go down. So, yeah, I think they're doing a really good job.
Cool. So $10, is this worth diving into in early access, or should people wait on it, wish list it? What do you think?
If you are into simulators and you like animals, then this is a go for it. Go ahead and pick it up. Yeah.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is InBento, developed by Afterburn, published by 7Levels, released July 30th on Xbox One for $4.99. Open your cookbook, grab a lunchbox, and start preparing exceptional bento meals through this amazing puzzles in InBento. Cole, tell us about InBento.
That's like the most pared down description of what's possibly going on here.
Yeah.
You actually have a tale being told through some artwork. You get a little piece of art after each chapter that spells out the story of a mama cat and her little baby cat. And she's, you know, obviously cats. She's feeding him sushi in little bento boxes. And you have to solve puzzles to set up the bento box so that it looks like the picture that's on the right-hand side of the screen. You'll have a limited number of moves. In the beginning, you're also limited to how you can move. So, for example, you only have like a 1x1 box, right? You have one box, and you just put one puff of rice in it. And that's your puzzle. That's it. Duh! Next. But the next puzzle may have a 1x2 box, and you may need a piece of rice and a piece of fish, but the rice needs to go on the left, fish needs to go on the right. So you have to like rotate the piece you have so that it fits in there properly to match the picture. This goes on and gets increasingly more complicated until
two
you
by
have
two, 3x3.
And 6x6, they get large. They get to be large puzzles, with quite a few possibilities as to how to actually solve them, as well as the kind of tools that you have for solving them. You're typically usually limited to between 4 and 6 moves for any puzzle. But you'll have options for like the different ways that you can swap and move the pieces around in the bento box to solve it. In addition to that, it seemed to me like a few of the puzzles had multiple ways they could be solved. They may all have multiple ways, but I was actually testing it out because I was solving them pretty quickly rolling through. And then number one was like, oh, what are you doing? I want to see. I want to play. And so she started to play it, and she was very much solving them differently than I did, but getting the same answer. Wasn't for everyone that it would work, but there were certainly a few that, you know, she was able to solve them different ways. But it's pretty limiting. It's usually like the more simple puzzles that are like that you can do that with. But yeah, they get really complicated. And the story is heartbreaking. Like, as a mother whose child is getting ready to go off to college and flying the coop and all that, like, holy fuck, it resonated with me. And I think I'm just a mess when I think about it. Oh, I'm not ready. and neither was this mama cat. So the whole story just follows, you know, this mama cat and her child's cycle of life. And it's just, it's incredible. It's so well illustrated. And it's even without any dialogue, without anything other than just these few pictures, it just tells a really meaningful tale. And I loved it.
Well, $5. What do you say?
This is an absolute buy it. Plus, it's there's no missables or anything for those wondering about the completions. It's just for reading the story, for solving all the puzzles. So
if you take your time,
if you can take your time, though, it's it in no way tries to punish you. There's no fail system here. If you mess up and you can't solve the puzzle, you just press B to take away parts until you can try again, or you can just press Y to start all over. And there's no punishment, there's no timers. It's just meant to be relaxing, solve it, and cry your eyes out over the story.
Cool beans. Yeah, I like this one. It's cute, easy at first. It's like easy to pick up, difficult to master,
because
they just get, those puzzles get really, really complex in how you have to position, because you could put pieces on top of pieces, but you can't like pull one up from the bottom, if that makes
sense. Nope. Yeah. Not unless you have that specific, there is a specific move that lets you move one, but then you have the empty space, so you better be prepared to fill it.
Yeah. All right. Final game to talk about is called Alfonso's Arctic Adventure, developed and published by Spoony Bard Productions. Amazing name. Released July 30th on Xbox One and Switch for $4.99. Bob has gone missing and it's up to you to find him. Over 90 levels to explore in this 8-bit action puzzler. Cole, tell us about Alfonso's Arctic Adventure.
This game was made for Nintendo.
Yes, it was.
Like, full-on Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo, with a cartridge release and everything.
Yep.
So, with that in mind, please don't think I'm being harsh when I say this game really runs with that retro aesthetic. It's very... I don't even know how to describe it, because I don't typically play these kind of retro games, right? Like, I played them as a kid, and I remember them. Is it 16, 32-bit? I don't know.
8-bit.
NES is 8-bit. Is it really?
Yeah, NES is 8-bit. Super Nintendo, 16-bit.
Genesis is 16-bit.
Saturn and PlayStation are 32, and N64 was 64.
See, I don't know. I just know that they're retro games, and that's it. I don't like... I played them, but I didn't drown in the nostalgia of them.
Yeah, I know Carnage has a walkthrough for this game that can be completed somewhat quickly if you use cheat codes.
Oh no, you dirty bastards. The game is easy enough as it is too, though. Like, it's one of those, you have a character and you can change into other characters and you get a different moveset, right? It's pretty simple. There's for each level, the levels are short. For each level, there's a set number of fish, and you have to get all the fish. There's also a hidden golden fish. If you can manage to get that, kudos to you. It's pretty cut and dry. It's just one of those, do you like 8-bit platformers? Well, then here you go. You're going to like this. If you don't like 8-bit platformers, well, then I guess maybe look somewhere else. But for $5, what this one is it's fine. I don't have any complaints. It just played like you would think it was going to play. And it's definitely going to scratch an itch for people who have that nostalgia and retro game love.
Cool. So your official verdict?
For me personally, it was more of a fuck it, why not? But I can see there being people this is a buy it for. It's affordable. It fills a niche that may or may not suit you. But, you know, if it does, hey, go for it.
Cool. Yeah, I like this one. I love that it's an authentic NES game.
Yeah.
I do have some gripes. I played through quite a bit of it. I wish you could go back to levels you completed so that you can find...
I forgot about that.
Golden fish that you've missed, or secret exits that you've missed. I know that one of the cheat codes, not cheat codes, passwords, is a level select that just opens everything that you can go to.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice if you could just revisit levels you've already done to just go with.
Yeah.
Carnage is saying he spoke to the dev and... He said, come on, Carnage, continue typing.
Type fast. semester.
Seriously, it's like I'm waiting on him or something.
The first time I couldn't go back, I was like, well, motherfuck. And then I just kind of forgot about it because I accepted that's the way it was.
He's saying that he submitted a patch to adjust like the goldfish achievement and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the changes that we are hoping for will be addressed. But it sounds like overall it's a solid game, and it's cool that it's on the NES.
Okay.
Cool. All right. That's it for this episode. Yeah. 700 fucking episodes gone and done with.
We did it. I'm going to go die.
Okay. Do you have any final words before we end the show?
Here's to 700 more.
Oh, fuck you.
Me. I'm gonna have to go wash out my mouth with bourbon after peddling all that shit. What a fucking tool shed that guy is.